I had an older brother, and he thought it upon him when I was a young kid growing up to straighten me out. Any of you have what they try to do, try to boss you around, straighten you out? And you might not believe this, but growing up, I could get real silly and get out there and embarrass him and all. And his favorite thing was, grow up. Just grow up. When are you going to grow up? And I can tell you, I haven't met that goal yet and don't intend to be. I tend to be, to the day I die, a juvenile adult. You know? I mean, life's too short. Life's too short not to live it to its fullest. But my brother would say, just grow up. You could take the chapters in the book of James and the whole theme is grow up. Grow up. He wants us to become mature Christians, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of my favorite times when I'm in the hospital, if I have time, doing hospital visits and different things, I love to go by the maternity ward. Any of you like that? There's just something exciting about it. It's life. And you go there, and you see your baby, and of course, yours is the prettiest one there and all. I haven't seen a pretty baby yet, but you know, every parent thinks their baby is the best. And you'd bring them home, and after a few days, a few weeks, they begin to take on your characteristic. And it's amazing to me that they'll say something totally not discernible, indiscernible. And you'll say, did you hear that? That was mama, dada. It would be like they just go, dada. Did you hear that? He said, dada. And, you know, it doesn't matter. You're so excited about that. You think that they're at least making some noise. They can even spit up after saying that. You're still excited, aren't you? I mean, you're just excited about a child that's beginning to develop a little bit. Well, take a child that's 5, 10, or 15 years old and says, dada. Something's wrong, right? That marker is there. There's not a growth. There's not a development like it should be with a child. And that's exactly the same with salvation. As a pastor of many, many years, it concerns me how few Christians are growing in the Lord, from being born again, a baby in Christ, into adolescence and adulthood. And it just concerns me. And yet, that's why God leads me to a book like James, because I believe God's work and word changes people. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be in this business. I would be so discouraged. But the gospel is the power of God, and it can transform lives. Now, we get very excited, as we had in baptism last week, and then coming to know Christ, Callie, we get very excited when a person comes to know the Lord. I never get over that. That just thrills me. But what also kind of, like, we got to pay attention to is that that's just the beginning of the Christian walk. For some reason, we think when a person comes to know Christ, okay, they're home free, and there's no growth. And it's just as tragic as a 20-year-old saying, dada, that we don't know anything spiritually, that when the trials and testings come, and guess what? Remember why James wrote this book? There were people of the diaspora. They were scattered out in Asia Minor. Why? Why had, like, Jerusalem was just catching on fire and 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved. Couldn't even number they got so many. Then severe persecution came, so the Christians were scattered. And James writes them and says, listen, don't give up. Don't quit. Man, get some stick-to-itiveness, because what is happening to you when you deal with it in the right way, it can actually bring maturity. So therefore, from that standpoint, You don't rejoice because of the pain or whatever, but you rejoice because of the opportunity that it can bring in your life. So the million-dollar question that we looked at last week was, why? Why can we consider it joy when we fall into these various trials? I want to dig down a little deeper on that, because unless we get this foundational truth in our mind, the Christian life's going to be up and down. We're going to be filled with frustration. Life's going to be so hard that we just want to give up. And if you're going through hardship, I know this is with me when I'm not doing it right. When we go through hardship, remember that song several years ago? Don't worry, be happy. How many of y'all remember that? How many of y'all have a radio or TV? When I'm going through a trial and somebody sings that, I want to slap them. You know? Don't worry, be happy. That's so counterintuitive to my flesh and what I want in life and what I think I want in life. This one word cancels out all other words that we just talked about. Joy. Count it all joy when you find yourself. It's almost an oxymoron, isn't it? You know what that is, when somebody says political science, or when somebody says things like government intelligence are pretty ugly. I mean, these things seem to be a contradiction, and that's how we think. But let me explain, because I do want to really, Holy Spirit, give us an understanding of this, that I want us to see that most people, when they hear don't worry, be happy, and they hear consider it joy when you fall into these various trials, most people say, my joy comes when the trial's over, right? When I'm on the other side of the hardship or the challenge that may come in my life, not in the presence of the trials. And that's why I think we need to explain what is meant when the Bible says, brethren, count it all joy, sheer joy, complete joy, when you fall into various trials. Now, we touched a little bit on it last week. There is a difference between joy and happiness. You know, most people are searching for happiness and they get that confused with joy. Joy is not happiness. Happiness is not joy. Happiness is a passing emotion. Would you agree with that? When I go fishing, I get up in the morning. Boy, if the sky's nice, maybe the moon shines a little bit before daylight, and I'm driving the steam hatchie, and it's a good drive, and trailer doesn't fall apart, and all that stuff, you know, and it's a good day, and I launch the boat without tearing up anything, and those of you who know me know that is a feat in itself. But, and then there's a nice breeze, partly cloudy, perfect fishing weather. And man, I'm happy. But if I get up and it's raining and I forgot to charge my battery and I get down there and the battery won't start and I launch the boat and forget to tie it up and it's raining and the wind's blowing 50 miles an hour, I'm not happy. You see, happiness is an emotional passing thing. This is not joy. Let me explain. I would write this down on your outline. I don't think it's there. I wish I'd have put it there. But joy is a supernatural delight. Let that soak in. A supernatural delight. What I mean by that is joy doesn't come from you. It's a supernatural delight in the person and in the purpose of God. So, that joy does not depend upon what's happening on the outside of you, but it's a decision that's made on the inside of you. You know something there. You understand something. And so that takes us to the word count. What does that word mean? My brethren, count it all joy. Very important. Notice he didn't say, count it all joy when you feel these things. Didn't say feeling. He says, count it all joy when these things happen. What does that mean? Count means to evaluate. It's an accounting term. Look at it. Evaluate it. Look at what you're dealing with. He's not telling you to feel something. Get this. He's not telling you to feel something. He's telling you to think something. Very, very important. Evaluate something. Calculate the benefits of the trials. You got me? I'm having a trial. I'm thinking about something, what God's Word says. And so what I do is I count the benefits that can come from this trial, and therefore I embrace the means to an end. Did you follow that wordy statement? I mean, think about what it results in. Phillips' translation puts it this way. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd your lives, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Whoa. You didn't get it. Let me read it again. I'll read it slower for some of you. There's that crude sarcasm. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd your life, I've been crowded with trials, haven't you? Woo-hoo! Don't resent them. Oh, sir. Don't resent them as intruders messing up my life. But count them and welcome them. Welcome them as friends. Don't resent them. Oh, I can't believe this has happened to me. What has always happened to me? Nothing good ever happens in my life. Every time, you know, it's just bad. It's just real bad. Now listen, Christians are not masochists. What we are is pragmatists. And that means that we rejoice in the benefits that trials bring. If you're saying, I love pain, I love bad stuff, I love all... something wrong. But when you see that these things, the benefits that they can come into your life, because I tell you this right now, you got to get this down if you're a believer in Christ, you're a follower of Christ. He cares more about you being conformed to the image of His dear Son than He is you being comfortable. We don't like that. You know, we have a dear family member that's quite well off, and every time you get around him and say, how's it going? I'm blessed. And Nancy and I were discussing this morning, and I know what he's talking about, and we've all been blessed. We're blessed by this church. We're blessed by our job. We're so blessed. But would we say the same thing if we didn't have all the stuff? I don't want to go any further in that because I really get lost in it, because it's a great concern in my own life. If I go home today and my house burnt to the ground, is Jesus enough? I'm having to govern myself in a lot of good. Much more I want to say, but... welcome them as friends. You can only do that if you count joy and see the count it a joy. Only way you can do that is see that it's an opportunity for your spiritual growth. That's the only way you will deal with the trials and hardship in your life. How many of you love to go to the dentist? My mother would say, Elmer, you have a dentist appointment this week. I ran away from home. I hated not the dentist. I hated to go to the dentist. I didn't say, oh, Mom, that's wonderful. Great, man. They're going to get to stick a needle in right here, and it's just going to be awesome. And it's just, I love that kind of, it kind of helps me and gets me excited without all that pain. If your child tells you that, you need some help with that child. today, I go to the dentist. Pretty, aren't they? I go to the dentist. I think about it a little bit differently. I see the benefits of going to the dentist. My teeth don't fall out. Do you see the benefit of those things? Or he keeps. That's what James is saying here. He says, I'm going through trials, but I know the benefit is going to be there. God promised that. I'll show you that in verse 12 in just a second. You remember in the book of Acts, in the Sanhedrin arrested the apostles and they brought them in. They commanded them, don't you teach or preach anymore in the name of Jesus. They beat them and said, don't teach anymore in this name. Well, if that had been many of us, we'd say, okay, you ain't got to worry about me. I'll be a secret disciple. Listen to what they said. So they departed. Now, they've been beaten. They've been raked over the coals. Don't do this anymore or you're going to die. They left that place. They departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. Do you understand? They've just been beat up. They've just been threatened. Rejoicing. Why? Why? How do you do that? Because they were counted worthy to suffer shame. They counted it a joy because God counted them worthy. They saw a future benefit. They saw that God was at work. Later on, Paul and Silas, they're in prison. Remember that jail at midnight? And they're singing and praying. He's writing to the church at Philippi. Why he's in prison. And he uses the word joy, rejoicing, 16 times. He's in prison. 16 times in that short book, he says, rejoice. Listen, you can only do that if you're nuts or if you know things are working for your benefit, ultimately. You've got to evaluate some stuff. If you're here and you're a skeptic or you're not a believer, I could ask you, I don't want you to raise your hand, but I could say, do you face trials? Does every person on the face of this earth face trials? Would you rather face those trials alone? With your own power? Or with the help of God and the power of God and the strength of God, knowing all things are working together for the good, for His glory and for your good. When a Christian counts their trials pure joy, you know what we're doing? Get this. We're showing the superiority of a life lived for God. We're trusting God with our life. We're trusting God it's going to be okay. We're trusting God that we know how the end result's going to be, and He's with us, whether we're in the dungeon, whether we're in the penthouse, whether we're in the outhouse. He's with us, and He's going to protect us and guide us. And I was telling Nancy, and I were talking this morning, and a little bit unusual, she was listening more to me without her second cup of coffee. Nancy will walk in. I'm up early, 3:30, 4 o'clock, and she'll walk in. She hates me to say, good morning, honey. I can see it on your face. Shut up. Let me get some of this caffeine in me. But we were talking about that. We talk about going back to the blessing thing, how God blesses, and if we have a lot, and this particular person we're talking about is a multimillionaire and all that stuff, and he says, God's blessed me. Well, truly, God has blessed. God has blessed him. He's a follower of Christ, very generous man. God has blessed him. But if he didn't have a penny, God has still blessed him if he's a believer. Think about it. And we talk about, well, God delivered this one out of the prison, and we read in the New Testament and all these things, and God delivered them out. If God saw fit for that to be the end of your life, he's still God. He's still on the throne. You are still blessed. How could Paul say whether by life or by death? If it's by life, I'm going to live for the Lord. If it's by death, I'm going to be with him. So we're blessed people, aren't we? We're blessed, we're blessed, we're blessed. And so don't worry, be happy. I still don't like that song. And I'm blessed. So we saw, let me tell you this, because you might be saying, well, I don't know if I'm spiritually mature. I don't know if I'm growing in Christ. I don't know. I'm going to give you a sure test here. You ready for a test that really convicted me? Spiritual, I'd write this down too, if those of you who can write. Spiritual maturity can be measured by what, this makes me want to, spiritual maturity can be measured by what it takes to steal your joy. It didn't do for you what it did for me. Do you follow what he's saying there? Let me kind of illustrate this for you. You leave here today, and the pastor got us out at the right time, and you got to beat everybody to the restaurant. And you get behind a Sunday afternoon driver, and you can't pass him. You lose your joy. Or somebody says something that hurts your feelings. Do you follow that statement? Spiritual maturity can be measured by what it takes to steal your joy. We looked at last week why trials happen. It's for our growth. We're going to dig a little deeper on that. But there's three reasons trials come into your life: for your growth, for your correction, and for your direction. And these three things are on your outline. Look at verses 3 and 4. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That's endurance. Let perseverance, circle, finish its work. Why? So that, in order that, you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Sometimes when trials come, we become desperate and frantic and try to cut short this trial that's going on in our lives without even consulting God in the matter. Our whole focus is on how can I get out from under this trial? And what does that say? Let it have its perfect work. Let it finish its work. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through it again. You don't let it finish its perfect work. God may carry through that in your life again. James says that the testing of faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish the work so that you may be mature. This is very similar to what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. Listen to verse 3. We also, you ever notice that Paul's continuously saying, joy, rejoice. He says, we also rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because we know. We discussed this word, we know, thoroughly Wednesday evening. That word in the Greek is gnosko, and it means to know by fact, the Word of God, and to know by experience. You see it? God's Word says it. We experience it, so we know something. This word hope is not like we use it today. I hope to be there. You ever ask anybody, hey, come church with me Sunday? Well, I hope to. They don't really. That says if the stars line up and the creek don't rise, and all kind of, they'll be there, right? This word hope is a surety, calm assurance, confidence. He says perseverance, character, hope. Hope does not, well, if it's a maybe, we might be disappointed. God says, what I'm telling you is not a maybe. It is a solid, confident promise. How do I know this? Listen to the last part of this verse. Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. Holy Spirit's that down payment, that thing that we know that God is for us. Now, it's important to understand that perseverance is not about surviving. Well, I know this trial, I'm just hanging on. I understand that. That reluctant obedience is better than no obedience. But don't look at it that way. Well, I just don't know about it. I'm telling you that the residual effect of trials, its whole purpose is to grow us up, to even become closer to God. When the times are good, we just don't listen. This is so true in my life that I'm asking the Holy Spirit to, like a brand, put it on me, make it a mark in my body to understand this. I don't have any problem, and I might have said this Wednesday, but I had no problem when our son David accidentally shot another person. I had no problem crying out to God. We were in Jacksonville. This happened in Lake City. We're traveling to Lake City. My heart is broken. I don't know how to pray. But I'll tell you one thing. It wasn't like, now lay me down to sleep. Oh, God, please intervene. I don't know what I'm going to face. I don't know what's going to happen. God, help me. Give me strength to deal with the situation. I have no problem crying out to God in my need, in my almost desperation. You have a child that's strung out on drugs and just, I have no problem crying out to God on behalf of my son and the needs that's there. But then it seems when things are leveled out and they're going okay, it seems that, okay, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings. I'm blessed. Thank you, Lord. Oh, may God show us that if we're going to have a living relationship with him. And by the way, don't go into, well, I know trials are there. I'm going to have them every day. No, sometimes the wind blows favorably in your life, right? Sometimes things are going good. Don't go, well, that preacher I listened to, he said trials coming, so you don't even enjoy when the wind's blowing favorably because you're caught up with the potential of trials that's not even in your life at that point. Enjoy the good times. Enjoy what, but understand when, he didn't say if trials come, when trials come, you need to know how to deal with that. The great prince of preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, once said, you might want to write this, you're going to start bringing it. We're going to have pens in these pews next week, okay? He said, I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me upon the rock of ages. I have learned to kiss the waves that has thrown me upon the rock of ages. And of course, that's Jesus Christ. And we find this true strength, this true resilience, and find this our true faith. So, when I preached through the book of James several years ago, went through it pretty quickly. We've been 2 weeks in it, going on the third, and we haven't even got to verse 5 yet. But are we in a race, or we want God to mature us and speak to us? God's word is alive. And as long as he's feeding me and feeding you about this thing that shows people the character and love of God by how we deal with life. And if we can get that locked into our hearts, amen. Thank God for that. For me to live is Christ. Billy Graham once wrote, when a ship's carpenter needed timber to build the mast for the sailing vessel, he did not cut the pole in the valley, but on the mountainside where the trees had been buffeted by the winds. These trees, he knows, are the strongest. May God bless us And may we live here today as that last song we sang, sweet, sweet Spirit in this place. If you're here today, and maybe you have a lot of questions, maybe you say, I don't know about a lot of stuff. I welcome it. Let's talk. Let's look at it. I love to share. You're going through something that, man, I need prayer. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. If you're here and you don't know about your salvation, and we're here for you. We're for you 100%. We rejoice in being able to see people come to know Christ and people grow in the Lord. We rejoice in that. And so whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life, just be obedient in these areas. So let's pray. What do we need to take away from this place today, what we've heard today? Let's remember that the trials we face are not meant to break us, but to shape us. They're not meant to discourage us, but to develop us. They're not meant to defeat us, but to declare the glory of God in us. Listen, we're not victims of our circumstances. We're victors in Christ. We are not defined by our trials, but refined by them. Father, thank you. Thank you for these precious people that allow me to carry out my calling of preaching the Word of God. Father, thank you for your love and concern for us. Thank you. You care enough for us that you give us the resources. You didn't tell us to face these trials on our own. You give us the resources to face life with all of its challenges. Not only that, but you tell us that we can be not just conquerors, but more. Not in our own strength. Help us to trust. Not in our own understanding, but in our way. Sometimes we don't understand. But we're going to acknowledge you because you're God and we're not. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.